That wouldn't be good. No. No, that wouldn't be good. That would be a sight that you wouldn't want to see, I'll tell you. Well, it's good to have you here with us today. And I'm glad that we have two new sisters. Joyce, raise your hand. That's Joyce right there. Kim, raise your hand. That's Kim right there. I'm so glad to call you my sisters. Yes, yes, it is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful. Well, I want to start out this morning telling you a little story. I don't have very many stories, if y'all can tell. I want to start out this morning telling you a little story because my wife was out of town this weekend. And I was placed in charge of getting the house clean. And I had a Tim the Tool Man Taylor episode, just to let y'all know. And so yesterday morning, I got up and I knew that the house needed to be vacuumed. So I went out to get the vacuum. And on the way out to get the vacuum, I passed the power tools. And among the power tools was the leaf blower. Now, don't ever tell me, guys, you haven't thought this out. Because y'all have thought about this. Okay? I have 5 college degrees, but I missed the part about the common sense thing. But anyway, I saw the leaf blower. And I thought, you know, it went through my mind. Things started clicking. And I said, you know, I can blow all the dirt and dust out from under the couches and the furniture where the vacuum cleaner won't reach. And I can open the back door and just blow everything out the back door. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, there you go. All the men are going, yep, been there, thought about that too. Yep. Well, I opened the back door, I pulled out the leaf blower, and I put it on low because I didn't want to knock over any lamps or anything. Do what? Yeah, I had already dusted, by the way, just FYI. So anyway, I decided that I was going to get all the dog hair and the dirt and dust and everything out from under the couches and out from under the furniture. So I go up and I start to get on the one side of the furthest way from the back door, and I start blowing under the couch, and here comes all the dirt and dust from under the couch. As a matter of fact, even a couple of tennis balls that the dogs had lost under the couch. And I'm going, this is cool. And I said to myself, you know, I'm going to make $1 million because I'm going to market this. And then something clicked. Because I looked up and I saw all that dirt and dust coming out from underneath the furniture, hitting the wall, going up the wall, across the ceiling, and falling back down into the house. Now, I consider myself fairly intelligent, but I did not think that through. Because after I finished blowing all that out the back door that I could, I realized I still had the dust again, and I still had the vacuum. Because it was everywhere. But the one thing that I learned in doing this is that grace and forgiveness does exist, because my wife had grace and forgiveness for me for doing that. Grace does exist. Forgiveness does exist. And like I said, I did it as an experiment. And it worked really well for about 2 minutes. Do not try this at home. It is only for we professionals to do. Okay? All right. Today I want to talk to you about something that we have been given. And we have been given it abundantly. And folks, I want you to know something. That if it was not for the grace of God, we would not have an opportunity to go to heaven. I am so thankful that I can be forgiven for the things that I do, whether they be sin or just stupid. I can be forgiven for those things. And I am so grateful that God so loved us that He sent His Son so that we would be with Him forever. If you want to know the definition of grace, look at Jesus Christ. He is our definition. He is grace. He is God's love for us. And I am so thankful that we as Christians have received that love. Isn't that wonderful? Now I want to start out in Ephesians. Because in Ephesians there's a lot of misconception about grace. And I want to talk to you specifically about what grace is today. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." This is a correct and upright statement. It is the grace of God. Because if you remember right, I've told you that the Old Testament taught us three things. It taught us, number one, what sin is. It taught us, number two, that all of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. And it taught us, number three, that we have to have a Savior. We have to have someone to pay our debt for sin so that we can be with God in eternity. This is where grace comes in. The grace of God is the love of God for you, for me, for us, for all mankind. Because it's God's will that none should perish, but all have eternal life with Him. That all men everywhere should come to repentance. Or women as well. Everyone should come to repentance, because God's grace is given freely to us all so that we can have that opportunity to be with Him. How wonderful is that? It is by grace that we have been saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. We cannot earn our way to heaven. I cannot do enough good things in my life to overcome one sinful act. I cannot. It is only through God's grace that sin is overcome. It is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that sin is washed away. And therefore we have a clean slate. God says, "I will remember their sin no more." We have a clean slate where our sins have been washed away. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of our works, so that no one can boast. Paul is very specific about that. He says, I can boast in nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's exactly correct. I cannot boast that I earned salvation, because it is the free gift of God. I cannot boast that I have done so many good works that I am going to go to heaven. It's Jesus Christ paying our debt that allows us to go to heaven. So realize exactly what he's saying there. It is not through us that we receive grace. It is not through us that we receive forgiveness. It is the gift of God that we receive forgiveness. Now, Romans 6:23 tells us this. The wages of sin is death. We deserve death. We deserve punishment. But the gracious gift of God is eternal life. And notice what it says, in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is God's gift. That is why we have salvation. That is why God is worthy of our praise each and every day, each and every minute. We praise God for the great gift He has given us to be with Him in eternity in heaven. We cannot boast because it is not us that has earned this. It is what God has given. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, it tells us, far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, and I can tell you this, up front, personal, this is the way it should be. You can brag all day about what Jesus has given you for His sacrifice. You can brag all day about what God has given you. But the glory goes to God. The glory goes to Jesus. It does not come to you, because it is because of Him. It is because of them that we have salvation. And so boast about that. Boast about that to everyone. When you go out into the world today and you see people out there, you say, I have found salvation. Folks, we have, through Jesus Christ, through God the Father. That's where salvation comes. So I cannot boast today about anything I have done, but I can boast all day long about what God has done for us. Now, I want to give you just a few facts about grace. And one of the things that I want you to know up front before I get started in this is this one fact. Grace does not eliminate good works. It does not. Without works, faith is what? Dead. James chapter 2. Says it multiple places in James chapter 2. If you haven't read James chapter 2, read James chapter 2. Faith without works is death, is dead. Also, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Is that not correct? Yes.
But I've used this multiple times, and I'm telling you this. God expects you, God commands you to use the gifts that He has given you to glorify Him. He expects that. Now, where that comes in is this. I am given a certain gift. I go out and use that gift, and I use it to this level, where I could use it to this level, but I'm using it to this level. Because as Paul speaks about quite often, but he talks very specifically about it, those things which he would do, he does not, and those things which he would not, he does. In other words, the flesh is weak. And so therefore, we don't always do everything we're supposed to do we? Folks, do what you can. Do what you're given. Grace takes over the rest. God's grace is the reason I can go to heaven. Grace takes over the rest. But it does not eliminate what you can do. We are to go and we are commanded to go out and preach to the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are commanded to do that. This grace does not take that away, but grace does fill in the gap when you fall short. Grace is there for all people, all mankind, if they will just put it on. Now here's the first fact I want you to do, to look at. Grace, as a definition, is not received from works we have done or as a reward for our actions. We need to understand that. Grace is not given to us because we have earned it in any way. Because remember what the wages of sin is? Then we haven't earned grace. It's not a reward for our actions. But it is a free gift received from God through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not a result of your works, so that no one can boast." Grace is a gift, comes to us from God. Notice this as well. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, grace is, I'm having a little problem with this today. Grace is given from the beginning of time. This was God's plan. God knew that Adam and Eve were not going to be able to obey His every command. God knew they were going to fall short. In John chapter 1, we see that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Genesis chapter 3, after Eve and Adam had partaken of the forbidden fruit, God told Satan that through her seed, he will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. In other words, God told Satan that Jesus Christ would crush his head. And he did so on the cross. Before the foundation of the world, this was God's plan, that grace would come through the sacrifice of His Son. We see the first foretelling of the coming of Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 3. And all through the Old Testament, we see the foretelling of the coming of Jesus Christ. And then all in the New Testament, we see the arrows pointing directly back to the cross, showing us that indeed, grace has come. We can receive it. We are unified through this grace. Have you ever thought about that? It is because of grace that we are unified as one body. It is because of grace that we are unified as one spirit. Just as we are called in one hope, just as there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in us all. We are one together, and we are one together in His grace. You have been forgiven. I have been forgiven. The world can be forgiven. It is our job as believers to go into the world and teach the grace of God. Folks, in our class this morning and in our class last week that we have our young adults, we've been talking a little bit about how you approach somebody, how you approach someone who is in sin. How do you approach someone who is not living the way that they should be living? Try this. Approach them in the same grace that you have received. Approach them in love. Approach them with compassion. Follow Jesus' example with the woman who was caught in adultery. He had the power, He had the authority to put her to death, but He does not. What does He do instead? He tells her to go and sin no more. Loving one another with the same love that God has shown you. Giving grace to one another with the same grace that God has given you. This is how you approach the world. This is how you go out and teach. Not condemning, not pointing your finger. Because I can tell you right now, and I've told you this before, I cannot point my finger at anybody. Because I realize how much grace and forgiveness I have received. And if I can be forgiven of my sins, then whatever sin you have committed, you too can be forgiven. Approach them with grace. Approach them with love. Approach them with the same forgiveness that you yourself have received. And you will win them over to Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24 tells us this. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, I told you that grace does not eliminate your command to obey Him. Because it goes on to tell us this in John chapter 14, verse 15, It says this, if you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandments if you love him. That's pretty simple. So when Jesus tells you to go and do, what do? You go and do. Why? Because he loved us so much that he was willing to give his life for us, and therefore we too should love him the way he loved us. It does not eliminate good works. It does not eliminate the fact that we have to be baptized. Because folks, grace is given, but it's always our choice. Grace is there. Accept that grace. And that grace will fall upon you. But how do we receive it? We receive it through the love that was given to us through God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as He has loved us, therefore we should also love Him. And I've given you the example many times about my mother when she was older. When I was younger, I did what she told me to do because I feared punishment. When I was older, I did what she told me to do because I loved her so much. Same thing here. If you love God, if you love Jesus Christ, do what they command. Now, I mentioned a minute ago, grace is free for the taking. It is the free gift of God. It is given to each one of us. But as Adam and Eve in the garden was in that situation to where if they just don't eat of that fruit, they can live in the garden forever. If they just don't eat of that fruit, then I don't have to mow the grass. Or vacuum with the leaf blower. If you just do what God wants you to do. But understand that Adam and Eve was given a choice. From the very beginning. From the very beginning of time, man has always had the choice. Folks, the gift is given. You are making the choice as to whether to pick it up and put it on or leave it. You are making that choice for eternal life with God or an eternity in hell. You are making the choice for forgiveness of sin or punishment by the sin. God is giving you that choice. And so, for today, for every day, you need to make the choice. Today, I'm going to live for God. Tomorrow, I'm going to live for God. Each and every day of your life, make that choice that I'm going to live for God. And receive the grace and forgiveness that He has given to all who would love Him. I am excited about this message because I know how much grace and forgiveness I have received. Folks, look at yourself. Realize what God has done for you. And it makes it real easy to love Him the way that He has loved you. If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism, or a need for our prayers, we ask you to come while together we stand and sing.